Why do meditators go away in peace and quiet? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Why do people who want to meditate go into silence? Why do they go into their private room? They go where they can close the door, where they can be away, where they can cut off the sounds of the world. They have found that people who live in busy areas of the city, who live near railroad tracks, who live near airports, have experienced some very tragic things in their mind. This noise that comes unbidden and unexpected and unchallenged takes over their mental attitude in many different areas. And as this white noise penetrates into the mind of children, their learning is greatly disturbed. And that is the noise that you don't pay much attention to. It's just there. And then you hear these boom boxes and you hear the noise that comes to the music through the ears as music, and you think to yourself, wow, what heavy-duty metal, heavy metal. That's a good word for it, heavy metal. What heavy attitudes that sound has. Well, these things are very destructive to our peace of mind, to our progress as a human being, to our progress in our body, in our mind. How can we live our life amidst all the confusion of the modern day world, with all the confusion of the activities that are going on in our industrial shops, in our business offices, and with our now iPods that we glue into our ears to listen to music privately, and to our cellular phones that we clamp onto our ears so that we can talk more, and we're on the phone, you know, night and day virtually. These are all noise things. They're all noises that are taking up time that our brain would be using to meditate upon what it is and how it can accomplish something. If I distract anybody, myself, if I distract myself from whatever task I'm doing, I do not do the task well. If I distract myself from learning properly, and I watch a movie instead of learning, or I listen in the background to an argument that's going on, or other noises while I'm learning, I do not learn so effectively or as beautifully, or I don't reveal how much I know as positively as I can. What is a solution to this sort of a situation? Everyone cannot go off to the countryside and live in the purity of the absolute monastery and live in this quiet, wonderful place. Everybody cannot go far away, and even here, sometimes the airplanes chase us. They're in the sky above us, or cars are in the distance and we hear them, or animals are howling, coyotes are coyoting, and things like that. We hear these things. Well, up here in the mountains, it's easier to turn off noises that are unwanted. They're still there. They're still vying for the attention of our physical being and our mental being, and they're still trying to distract us from our meditative self listening within. Truly, all knowledge comes from within. All wisdom comes from within. All beingness comes from within. We are within people, though we think we're without. We think we're the television and the radio. We think that we're the house and the car. We think we're the airplane and the discussions and the movies. We think we're all this outer stuff. And yet, the outer stuff comes from what the inner being is all about. The books that make the movies were in the minds of people. The cars and trucks and airplanes were in the minds of people at one time, not yet fully revealed, but little by little they were opened up and revealed. All things come out of the mind. All things come out of the brain. And the brain is ready and able to give us absolute magnificence whenever we choose. And the brain is teaching us something that we're learning slowly. We think that gadgets and trucks and cars and vehicles are how we should transport ourselves. We think that devices should amuse us. And as we think these thoughts, we empower them to amuse us and to transport us because we think they do. Now we have the ability mentally to be anywhere we want to be. We have the ability mentally to think any thought, and these thoughts translate themselves into objects, which translate themselves into cars and planes and trucks and buses and what have you. But it's the thought. It's the thought. Now if I say to you, what's the most ideal mode of transportation? And you think of the many vehicles that are available, and you say to yourself, well, there's all sorts of them. And I say, no, really, what's the most beautiful? Then you say, well, a private helicopter, you know, to get around to where I want to. And then you think to yourself, well, when I think of myself, I'm visiting my mom, and I'm having a nice visit with my mom. But we say, well, your mother is long since gone. She's moved on to another dimension. How do you go visit her? Well, I visit her in what I know I have known her as. I visit her in the house where we lived. But you're not there anymore. Somebody else lives in that house. It doesn't matter. Nobody lives in that house in my mind. In my mind, I'm the only one that lives in that house. And mom is there, and the family is there, and I'm talking with everybody. So you're saying that a mental experience is far more real and far more powerful than a physical experience. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a mental experience is, for me, the only real experience that there is. I get in a car and it's an illusion. I get in a bus, a train, an airplane, and it's an illusion. I'm traveling by illusion. One minute I'm here and one minute I'm there. Well, I'm doing the same thing in my mind. It's an illusion. One minute I'm sitting here in my home, and another minute I'm in my mental home visiting where I grew up, visiting my mom as we were young children, visiting my mom in today, visiting whomever I wish to visit. And my mind is my activity source. My mind is my tour guide. My brain is that which takes me wherever I wish to go. Because my brain is that which is in tune with the universal mind, the one mind that I am. It's a wonderful world and a wonderful experience. But I've allowed the noises of the world that I've created to so inundate my consciousness that I'm not able to be in my peaceful reverie as much as I would like. And because I'm not able to be in my peaceful reverie of being myself, I lose out on the opportunity of enjoying life and enjoying all that can be. I am the master of myself. I am the master of my life. I am the master of my world. And yet I give up mastery to my creation, to the cars and trucks and buses and planes and trains and things that make noise, to the radios, the televisions, to the talks, the discussions that people have, and to all of the things that want to distract my attention from listening to my own inner wisdom, to listening to my own inner voice, to listening to who I am. How do I do that? I do that by giving it my attention. Now I have the ability with my brain to completely cut myself off from experiences that are negative or that are not fulfilling for me. I can completely change my brain and tune it into a different channel than the channel of activity of the world about me. I can completely be in the middle of a war zone if I wish, and bombs are going off all around me, and I do not hear them, nor am I aware of them going off. I have moved into my inner realm. And people say, you're crazy when you do that. You are not balanced. You are not facing facts. Well, perhaps in turning off the outer, which we can do, and listening totally with the inner, we are doing the most important thing in the entire universe. We are being ourselves. We are listening within. Is this something you'd like to do? Would you like to do this? The saints and the theologians and the mystics and the philosophers of all time would like to be in this mind, in this meditation, and be in this belief. And because many philosophers and many theologians have gone into listening within, they are thought to be irresponsible people, whereas in truth they are the only responsible people that there are. When we go into our inner self and turn off the outer world, absolutely turn it off, we are undisturbed by any of the noises that are going by. People who live in a noisy environment have learned to turn off the awareness of it, but they have not chosen to turn off the noise itself. In true meditation, we turn off the noise itself of the outer world. We are one and the only one. We are absolutely unaware that anything else exists in this universe except ourself. Now here in the School of the Master at the Absolute Monastery, when we have our occasional School of the Master program, which runs for a number of months, where people live here on campus and dedicate themselves to finding themselves, I teach them to listen within. I teach them to treat me like they and I are the only people here. And they bring me a glass of water, and everyone brings me a glass of water. And pretty soon I have a table full of glasses sitting in front of me. And people say, well, how can I put a glass of water down if everybody else has a glass? Well, you don't put a glass of water down if everybody else has a glass. Everybody else is not putting a glass. There are those glasses there. And you just find this empty spot and put the glass down. It's not a matter that other people did it, or that other people are doing it, or that there are other people in this world. You are the only one, and you learn to think of the only one. I teach them, close the door behind you. Don't leave the door open for the person who's standing right behind you, because there's no one behind you. Can you learn that? And they say, oh, that's not proper, that's not right. That's true. That's not proper, that's not right. If you live in a world of otherness, if you live in a world where other people exist, if you live in a world where you are not number one, where you are not the only one, teaching this sort of a philosophy does not create friends for me. Did not create people who think that I'm very wise or that I'm doing a good thing for them. But What I'm training them is in the art of self-discipline, the art of self-awareness, the art of being themselves. And as they learn this art and apply it to other areas of their life, they are truly blessed. It is not that here in the school of the master they will demonstrate all their master qualities. It's in the school of the master that they learn about them, and they learn how to do it. And then they go forth in their life and they demonstrate it at every turn. To learn how to meditate and to be in silence and to be in quiet and to be in peace is one of the greatest blessings we can give to ourselves. Because we can turn off the world around us and we can live in our inner self. We can turn off all the illusions that are going on around us. We can bless them and release them and turn them off and listen to them. And truly, our ears do not hear them any longer. Our ears do not hear any sound. We do not hear any vibrations with these hundreds of little hairs that are in our ear that pick up the vibrations of what becomes sound. Our eyes do not focus on them. They are not in our vision. They're not in our ken. They're not something in our world. This is the training of a master. And then, when you have skillfully done this for yourself, then you can come into any world, this world or any other world, because there are worlds within worlds within worlds here, many dimensions that we live on. And you can come into a dimension, be master of it, be untouched by it, be its creator, be its person who knows exactly what's going on and directs every activity, and in the next moment release it and move on to another. Or not move on, just be in yourself. Be in your own peace, in your peace of mind. This is a very true and real possibility. It is done by a lot of people. And as people enter that state of bliss, they don't tell you about it. They can't. Because no words can describe the awareness of the quiet that they know, the peace that they know, the allness and the nothingness that they know. These are the things that are truly, utterly magnificent. And these are the things that make our world all that it is. This day, enter into your inner peace, into your inner silence, into your awareness of who you are and what you are. You are not the outer. You're the inner. And the outer can and should be and will be what your inner is. But our outer at the moment reflects only as much as the inner that we now know. But we have only touched the tip of that iceberg, and we are going deeper, ever deeper, ever more profoundly deeper. And as we go deeper, we are more at peace. We are more at one with all that is than we could ever have dreamed. Something to think about. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.